Tonight we are going to have one hour. Right now only 15 minutes left for Q&A. And tomorrow we have another Q&A. Tonight I will go through the question that have been handed to me first. After I finish the question, and Pastor Chen can continue the question he received. And also each question we can ask Pastor Chen to give some supplement. Andy is not here. The first question, how would a child, adult with special needs enter the kingdom of God? At times, it is hard for them to pray for the Holy Spirit. We enter the kingdom of God by the grace of God, not by keeping the law. And God gives us a very gracious way, which means to receive the baptism. We believe in Jesus Christ, and to receive the baptism, and our sin can be forgiven. And after our sin be forgiven, there will be a promised Holy Spirit being given to us. So this is recorded in Acts chapter 2. So even a person, a child or adult with special needs, as long as the person receives the baptism and the promised Holy Spirit will be given to them, according to God's promise. So God has his own way to fulfill his salvation. So for most of the ordinary people, just like you and me, we have to go through the normal procedure, which is recorded in the Bible. But for other special person, and then God has special way to deal with that. So we can be saved by the grace of God, not by keeping the law. This is the first question. And do you understand that? Just like Robert on the cross, right? He can be saved because Jesus Christ say, you can go into my kingdom. Then he can go to kingdom. He did not go through baptism. He did not receive Holy Spirit because the kingdom of God belongs to Jesus. So for those who have special needs, they don't know how to pray for Holy Spirit, don't worry about that. Because Jesus loved them. And Jesus say, you can go, then they can go. So there will be no problem. The second one, how do we prepare to be a board, church board member? I think when I look into this question, I know the youth are burdened. You have the determination to serve God. That's good. Yeah. You know, in 20, 30 years ago, a lot of youth, while they are in college, they already start to deliver sermon in the church services. Right now, anyone deliver sermon while you are in college? Raise your hand. While you're in college, you start to deliver sermon? Not many, right? So if we are waiting to bear more responsibility for church work, that's a very, very good for the ministry of God. And how can we prepare ourselves to become a church board member? Let's look into Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. This use has been quoted most often as the qualification to serve as a church council member. Oh. And also this verse serves as a qualification to choose an RE teacher. So this is a very, very common criteria to determine whether a person is suitable for the church work or not. The first condition is good reputation. So what does that mean, good reputation? Good reputation actually is talking about our life has been transformed, live a new life, live a Christ-like life. In other words, we try to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, to love God and to love man. We try to imitate Jesus Christ to serve like a servant. And we try to imitate Jesus Christ to live a life of holiness, have difference between we ourselves and the world. So this is called good reputation. The other way is to bear the fruit of Holy Spirit. If we really bear the fruit of Holy Spirit, then we are going to have a good reputation. So in order to have a good reputation, not only we need to have better behavior, but also we have to work harder than others in the church. We have to sacrifice more than others. So this is the first one, good reputation. And how come good reputation is so important? Because in the church, there is no power, do you know? In a company, you have certain type of power. If you don't want to listen to me, I fire you, right? But in the church, if you don't want to listen to me, then what? Nobody can do anything, right? Everybody is volunteer. So a person with good reputation will be well respected. When the person is well respected, the person speak, and the words carry weight. But if a person is not well respected, and when you speak, nobody is going to pay attention. So you cannot lead. So that is the first reason why we need a good reputation. And the second reason is because we serve as a council member, we represent our church. If we don't have a good reputation, the name of the church will be ruined. Then how can we serve as a church council member effectively? I was told that this is probably a true story. One of the truth seekers come to the church, study for the truth for a long time, and he had a bad habit of gambling. And later on, he quit the church. And the minister visited him, said, "How come you have been attending the service for so long?" And that truth seeker say, "Do you know what happened? Last night, I went to the casino. I gambled. I lose a lot of money. And lose to whom? Lose to one of the brothers in the church." So because of this, he quit the church. So good reputation is very important. The second one is full of the Holy Spirit. Why we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit? There are a few reasons. The first reason is Holy Spirit will motivate us to work for Him. And motivation is very important. If God really moves us by the Holy Spirit, and that kind of movement is so powerful, if you don't come out to serve God, you cannot sleep. Nobody has to urge you to work. Holy Spirit will be like a burning fire, burning inside you. So nobody needs to supervise you because Holy Spirit is burning inside you, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the first one now, because we need to have some kind of motivation, and Holy Spirit motivates us to do that. You know, a lot of holy work in the initial stage, a lot of people attend. But after a period of time, gradually you see the people disappear. Why? Because some of the members, they join the holy work or because of curiosity. I'm very curious what this means. And some of the church members, they joined the holy work because of they're afraid that they will lose their faith if they don't join the holy work. Everybody's cleaning. How can I not cleaning? Oh. So they join because of that reason. But the most noble reason and long-lasting reason is being motivated by the Holy Spirit. So this is the first one. The second one, if we are full with the Holy Spirit, we have the abundance of God. And this is the most important reason. No matter you deliver sermon, you do the interpretation, you become the RE teacher, you become the church council member, we need the abundance of God. When the Holy Spirit fills upon us, that means God abides in us. If God abides in us, a lot of difficulty will be resolved because God abides in us. If God abides in us, a lot of things we do will receive blessing from God. So to be filled by the Holy Spirit is so important. The third reason is when we are filled by the Holy Spirit, it's so easy to be one mind, one accord. You know, previously we hold the NCC for 4 days. Thanksgiving, that's what? Thursday, right? Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 4 days of NCC. Why? Because everybody is so smart. Because every issue, they have so many opinions. Also, they discuss until midnight. But later on, we find out it seems the meeting is too long. And the church start to promote the prayer. And the longer we pray, what is next? The shorter the meeting will be. Yeah. So right now, we have fasting prayer in NCC meeting every day. And then NCC meeting almost conclude within 1 day. Yeah. So being filled by the Holy Spirit is so easy that we can come from different opinion and end it in one mind, one accord. That's only Holy Spirit can do that. Other than that, no one can persuade anybody. So this is the reason to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And the third one is wisdom. We need to have a spiritual wisdom, the wisdom from above. Why? This related to direction. Yes, TJC can be grow very fast, but if the direction is wrong, then 10 years down the way, down the road, you are going to see TJC in different, very different from nowadays. Probably teaching will be different. Probably the atmosphere, spirit will be different. So how can we guide the teaching TJC in the very right direction? I think wisdom is very important. Wisdom means what? With the eyesight of Jesus Christ. We look at things from the heart of Jesus Christ. So these are the three criteria. And where comes the wisdom? Wisdom comes from three resources. The first one is the words of God. The second one from Holy Spirit. The third one from our personal experience in our servitude. So this is the second question.
So in a practical way, to prepare yourself to be to become a church board member. So from now on, you admired to be an IE teacher. To be an IE teacher is a very good training for you to prepare you to be to become a church council. Of course, join the every kinds of working team in the church. To be a coordinator, you start to practice how to communicate between the work team in the church council, because the communication is also one of the practical issue when you serve in the church council. When you are young adults, I believe many churches have the so-called young adults fellowship. Most of the church, they entrust the use fellowship to organize or to carry out some events for the church. So all of this is a very good experience for you to deal the church event or church issue. For some church, they just have a very small size. So you might not have a good experience, but you should be a church council. In that situation, in your serve, you equip yourself. The best is you equip yourself before you are on duty. But in some case, you still can equip. One hand you are on duty. One hand you equip yourself. As long as you are longing to serve God, whenever you can, we can equip ourselves.
Okay. TJC has a career path. You start from E2, right? And then E1, right? E1 and then E2. And then J1 and J2, then senior class, and then what? NYTS, and then right now is what? NYTS graduate? Right. There's a career path, right? After you go through the NYTS graduate, and probably you will become an RE teacher already, right? And you join the campus fellowship, and then after that, what? NYM, right? A lot of work for you to do. Then, after NYM, what? TTP, right? So there's a career path there. So you go one by one, and then in every stage, you just do your best to do it. And eventually, church will accept you as a TTP student. Okay. Number three, why did God tell Elijah to anoint it? Hazar as a king of Syria. Why would the foreign king need to be anointed by a prophet? In the 2 Kings chapter 8, verse 15, Hezekiah becomes the king during the Elijah's time. Did Elijah actually anointed him? Let me study about this. I will give you answer later. Number four. Why doesn't God destroy evil? Evil actually referring to Satan. If there is no Satan, there's no evil. And why doesn't God destroy evil? Yes, God will destroy Satan in the last day, in the time of Jesus' second coming. Right? That recorded in the book of Revelation. And even now, if we look into the book of Revelation, the work of Satan has been limited. So the world can be peaceful in a certain degree. Right? Before Jesus' second coming, Satan will be released from bottomless pit. Right? At that time, the whole world will become chaotic. And Jesus will come at that time. So God will destroy evil, yes, in Jesus' second coming. Why is it allowed to coexist with good? Well, the question itself has some kind of problem. God does not coexist with Satan. God created the universe. So God is the beginning of everything. So the whole world, including the spiritual world, only can be categorized into two parts. The first is the creator, God himself. And the second is the creature. In the spiritual world, in the physical world. So Satan and God is not coexist. So we cannot say evil coexists with good. In the beginning, there is only God, and there's only man, there's only angel. And why the angel will sin and downfall? This question nobody can answer. Why? Because the Bible did not say. Since the Bible did not say, that means we don't have to know it. If God wants us to know it, God will mention in the Bible. If the Bible doesn't mention it, we don't have to know it. So if the Bible doesn't mention it, we try to use our ration, try to either through the deduction or what, reduction, then the conclusion is may sound very philosophical, very logic, but there is no Bible foundation. So we have to avoid that. So why it is allowed the coexistence of evil and good? Yes, you can see the Satan now. You can see the work of God now. It seems coexist. But the power of God is more powerful than the power of Satan. So there's evil, there's good, right? Good comes from God, evil comes from Satan. But the power of God is more powerful than Satan. So which means, if we really feel by the Holy Spirit, we can defeat the work of Satan. No problem about that. Because after we receive the baptism, why? We are anointed, we receive the Holy Spirit, right? We are anointed as a king. We are anointed as a priest. We are anointed as a prophet. So we have three different kinds of title in the Old Testament. We are anointed as a king means we have the power of the Holy Spirit through the name of Jesus Christ. We can cast out the demon. We can restrict the work of demon. So definitely the power of good is more powerful than evil because the power of good comes from God.
If we are talking about the perfect, it's always beyond our explanation. Perfect. So God is perfect. He is perfect in righteousness, mercy, and the faithfulness. So because God is perfect, so usually out of our ration, out of our explanation. So for this reason, in the book of Isaiah say, God's will is far beyond, higher than our way, our will.
Thank you. Number five. What do we do when you are given a holy work that you feel you do not have the gift for it? First, that we look into the Bible. Can anyone find out in the Bible any person, God look at the person, oh, you have a lot of gift, so I use you. Can you find any example? God choose a person because the person are very gifted. Can you find anybody? No? Yes or no? Can you find anybody God choose a person, use a person because the person are very gifted? Yes or no? No. You cannot find even one. When God wants to use a person, God will give the person gift to accomplish God's work. So if the person feels I have no gift, okay, that's fine. But you have to make sure God wants to use me. If God wants to use me, then God will give you gift. So the most important is whether God wants to use me. That's it. If you are so sure God wants to use you, the second question is, then you have to ask God, and God will give you the gift. So simple. So maybe God moved the church council member and decide, oh, this brother is very suitable to become an RE teacher, right? But God moved them to make the decision. Then you start to pray. If you are longing to serve God, you start to pray, and God can give you a lot of gift. Really? But that's my answer. And Holy Spirit will give us gift. Yeah. Any supplement? Any other question? We'll go one by one.
So in church practice, always the church, usually church council assign you or give you some kinds of holy work. Usually the church council, they have observed. So they thought you have that kind of gift, or you are potential. You are potential. You have potential to do that task. So, and sometimes because there's no human resource, so you should do it. So, no matter in what kinds of situation, if you feel you don't have that kind of gift. You can let the church council know, and let them know, I need to be trained. I need someone to guide, to lead me, to do this work. So you can take that work, and you are trained during your work. So in this process, God will help you and give you the gift. This is many people's experience. The more we participate, the more we carry out the assignment, the more we will build up or gain the gift we need.
Okay, thank you. Number eight, how can we pray for those who have passed away? And does this have any effect? The question is not very clear. We pray for those who pass away for what? For the person to be resurrected? Or pray for those who pass away so for what? Oh. According to the Bible, once we die, our soul or our spirit will be taken away. Either in Hades or in paradise, waiting for the final judgment. And it will be irreversible. Whatever we have been done while we are still in the world, in this life, cannot be erased, cannot be altered, cannot be changed. So, in the final judgment, God will hold everyone accountable. So, even the person die, the person's fate had been decided already. So there's no way we can pray for those who pass away. No. Also, the best way is before a person pass away, make sure the person receive baptism and make sure the person really repent. Some of the member feel that when their family member was in a very terminal sickness and they didn't want to tell the family member because they are afraid that the family member probably will worry too much and die earlier. But if we go into the teaching of the Bible, if the family suffer from some kind of terminal sickness, the best way is to tell the person very frankly and very openly. Why? Because we have to let the person know your day are numbers. Your days are numbered, right? So you have to deal with your relationship with your family. You have to pray to God and ask God to forgive all your sins. And then when the person well prepared, the person die, and then the person salvation will have no problem. So, those who pass away, we cannot pray for them.
We usually announce, pray for that person's family. May God comfort their family members. I think you haven't heard we pray for that, that person.
Is it okay to pick a specific person and ask God to give that person to you as a spouse? Is that okay or not? Pick a specific person and ask God to give that person to you as a spouse. Is that okay or not? What's your opinion? Is it yes or no? Is it yes or no?
If you were Karen, you can say, give me that mountain area, give me the best. But are you the Karen? Followed God wholeheartedly. That is the... yes, we can put everything in our prayer. But the, usually our ask is what I want. But we know God listens your prayer. God wants to answer your prayer. But God usually always give us what we need. So this certain person might be what you want. But God knows who is what you need. So of course you can pray for put everyone in your prayer, but the result might not according to your expectation.
Okay. There's a timing for everything, and also God will prepare. So as long as we trust everything to God, and then you are going to see God will his own will to prepare a spouse for everybody. But eventually, if nothing happened, probably God prepare you to be a single person, right? So you can pray, yes, you can pray, but God has his own way.
And don't mix with what you have heard concerning the other religion. The other religion, if you focus, if you sincere pray for you want to have certain thing or certain person, and you might hear some news say, yes, the idols, the other so-called gods fulfill. But we worship the true gods, not idols. So it's not because you focus, you sincere, and God will fulfill what you want.
Let's look into one verse, Genesis. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord has blessed Abraham in all things. Actually, Genesis chapter 24 is talking about the marriage of Abraham's son, Isaac, right? But when the Genesis chapter 24 talk about marriage, what is the first thing? The first thing is God blessed Abraham in all things. So as long as you try to improve yourself to become a person really being blessed by God, right? And then God will give you a good spouse. So according to Bible, there are three ways you can find a spouse, right? Have you heard about it? There are three ways, three paths you can find a spouse, right? The first is Adam way. You just fall asleep, you wake up, your spouse is in front of you. Yes, so simple. Don't think it's too complicated. Oh. The second way, what is the second way? Second way is Isaac way, right? Isaac way means trust to the matchmaker. Oh. Trust your parent, right? And the third way is what? Jacob way. Do it yourself. You don't need anybody's help, right? But Jacob served his father-in-law 14 years. Do you want to do that? You know, to marry and you suffer for 14 years? So the best way probably is an Adam way or Isaac way. Oh, that would be best. Okay, now, next one. 10. How do you address the member who think our church do not do enough charity work and too much evangelical event? Then look into one verse. Probably you can have an answer there. Oh, John chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The most serious crisis of human being is perish, which means going to hell. The most precious blessing we can have is eternal life. So how can we avoid being perished? And how can we make sure to have eternal life? The only one way is what? Believing in Jesus Christ. So when we preach the gospel, we save the people into eternal life. When we preach the gospel, we can make the person avoid the eternal punishment of Hades. Don't you think this is a charity work? I think so. So our church have limited resources. When we say we do the charity work, we try to use our limited resources to save soul, the most important way to love people. So yes, our church did do the charity work.
Yeah. We also can refer to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 36. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. 37. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." 38. But Jesus said to them, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Of course, Jesus performed the miracles. Jesus healed the illness. Jesus cast out the demons. Yes, Jesus do many good things. But the main purpose, Jesus come to this world to save the soul, to preach the gospel. Of course, the church, we need to take care people's soul, but also take care people's even their daily life. So we do some according to our ability, according to our resource. We do some kinds of community care. Let's also refer to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Second Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. For if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what he does not have. So here say, we are willing to do good, is according to what we has, what we have. It's not according to what we do not have. So sometimes members have this kind of issue. They try to compare to some kinds of religion group or some kinds of charity group. We cannot compare to them. They did the charity issue like a company. That is their purpose. So, of course, we do charity, do good things. According to our ability, according to our resource.
Okay, thank you. How do we address division in church caused by people who believe they had a divine revelation or believe in someone else who had that revelation? You know, if there anything come from God, it must have a purpose, which is to edify the church. If anything really come from God, that should be edifying to the church. So if the revelation caused the church to divide, to have a division, then very possible the revelation had problem. How can God make some revelation and cause his church split to become two? It's impossible. So, we have to discern whether the revelation is from God or not. And how can we discern? We have to discern by the teaching of the Bible. For example, if somebody gives some revelation, just like Family Radio in what? Oakland, right? Northern California. Say Jesus Christ is coming what? May 21st, right? It passed already, right? So many people follow. And then, after May 21st passed, nothing happened. Now, that person make a new prediction, it's coming on October 21st. Do you believe? Of course you don't believe, right? So this kind of revelation already contradict to the teaching of the Bible. Because teaching of the Bible say, in that day, nobody knows. So if there is some revelation, it's no Bible support, no Bible basis, and then that revelation is just for reference. That's all. So we should not preach a revelation like a truth, 100% so sure. Revelation contradicts the Bible, is not from God. Revelation has no biblical foundation as a reference. And revelation's purpose is to edify the church, not to divide the church. So we have to use the wisdom to deal with this. And also, sometimes a member try to use some kind of revelation seems to... there are some good purpose and there are some not so good purpose. So good purpose is try to revelation to make people feel what? The end of the world is so imminent, right? Just like ER2K, right? At that time, some of the sermon speaker talking about Jesus' second coming is very near. So we have to be well prepared, right? This comes from the good intention. But some intention probably not so good. Use the revelation to make themselves become so important in the church. You see, only me receive revelation. So it seems I'm more spiritual. So we need to ask God to give us spiritual wisdom, but in general principle is this should be edifying to church, not to make the church divided. Yeah.
So here say, how do you address, how to deal with this kind of issue? I think the church council should face it to deal with this kind of issue.
Also, there's a procedure. First one, if you see somebody spread around some kind of revelation contradicted to the Bible or called church division, probably you can personally talk with that person if you have enough spiritual knowledge or wisdom. But if you don't have that kind of spiritual or wisdom, or you don't want to confront the person directly, probably you convey the problem or question to the church council or church chair, or let them handle it, or the full-time worker. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in our heart. Many people take this saying that the kingdom of God is not the church, just in our heart. So the church is not important. This is a misinterpretation. The first one, the kingdom of God is in our heart. The second one, the kingdom of God is in the church. The third one, the kingdom of God is in the eternal heaven. And the kingdom of God is in your heart, and the kingdom of God is in the church, actually is the same. Why? Because the church is composed of all the members who has been baptized. If everyone, the kingdom of God is in your heart, then we combine everyone together, then the kingdom of God is among us, then it's in the church. So there's no contradiction here. So we cannot use this to claim that the church is not important.
We cannot use our personal spiritual cultivation or personal experience to replace all personal or your family devotion to replace the whole congregation worship. Yes, the personal worship is very important, or your family worship is very important. But this cannot replace the whole congregation meet together and worship God. And in the same token, you cannot just, because I go to church always, so I neglect my personal spiritual cultivation or your family devotion issue. Both are important.
Okay, the last one, the time is almost up. How do we reconcile science and the Bible in terms of history and age of the universe? The first one is, Bible and the science will never contradict with each other. No, because science is to study the creation of God, and Bible is focused on the creator of the universe. So their focus, one is the creator, one is the creature. So this one will never contradict to each other. But if the scientists explain the science to a way that it seems the Bible contradicts to the science, that human interpretation may be something wrong there, something wrong in human interpretation. Yeah. For example, science say universe is 13.8 billion years old, but the Bible seems to say that less than 10,000 years old. There are a lot of questions regarding to this, right? The first, the science say the universe is 13.8 billion years old. How can you prove it? This is the first question. If it is true, right? And our God is an almighty God, right? When God created the universe, can God create a universe at the time of his creation? God created the universe just look like 13.8 billion old. Can God make it? Yes, God can make it. All the mother develop baby like what? Infant, right? If the mother is almighty, he can deliver a baby looks like 80 years old. Is that possible? Yes, it's possible. Right? But because mother is human being, so every baby born is like a new baby. Oh, if he's almighty or baby, oh, how come the baby only born looks like 80 years old? Right? Some of the tooth already loose. Right? Or it's possible. Right? All things are possible. This is the last one. Okay, tomorrow we have one Q&A. Pastor Chen will take over the rest of the questions. Let's pray in silence.